The Genesis Communications Network is sponsored by the U.S. Money Reserve, your exclusive source for gold and silver precious metals. Visit them online at usmoneyreserve.com.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Have you asked him personally? Has he taken a look? I mean, this is in the news. He's insatiably curious. I imagine that he has access that he probably has seen them, no?
I don't know whether or not he's... I have not asked him about
that. If White House Press Secretary Josh Earnest looked and sounded uncomfortable fielding a question about whether President Obama had read the now infamous redacted 28-page chapter from the Congressional 9/11 report, it was probably for a good reason. As just days before a key summit with Arab leaders in Saudi Arabia, the White House is now bracing for renewed questions about the kingdom's possible role in the September 11th attacks. At issue, a still classified 28-page chapter from the Congressional Joint Inquiry Report, part of a voluminous 838-page account of the 9/11 attacks. The section in question has been shielded from public review since 2003 at the request of the Bush administration in the interest of national security.
There is credible evidence in those 28 pages, we believe, that there was involvement on the part of some agents of the Saudi government in providing aid and support to the hijackers who brought down the World Trade Center and attacked the Pentagon.
Quinn, an attorney representing some 2,000 9/11 families, believes the U.S. may have classified the pages to protect its delicate relationship with its Saudi allies. Some leaders on Capitol Hill agree and say now's the time for transparency, not trepidation.
This is going to cause embarrassment for those who should be embarrassed. And I still think the overriding interest should be with transparency and fairness for the victims of 9/11 and their families.
Experts suggest the report could further exasperate a sensitive diplomatic tightrope for the Obama White House, which has already struggled to sustain ties with Riyadh over its Iran nuclear deal and deconfliction efforts in Syria. Worse, if the 28 pages confirm suspicions that the Saudi government did in fact help some of the 9/11 attackers, the legal, diplomatic, and political fallout could be devastating for U.S.-Saudi relations.
It needs to be explored, it needs to be explained, and it needs to be resolved.
Of course, the longtime Fox News viewers may recall back in 2011, we had a lot on this in that documentary that we produced, The Secrets of 9/11, with Catherine Herridge, Bill Hemmer, and Eric Shawn. Now, to be clear, Brett, the president can declassify these 28 pages that we've been talking a lot about. In fact, twice, he has promised to do so, but he's yet to keep that promise to the 9/11 family. But we also learned late this evening from the Tampa Bay Times that former Florida Senator Bob Graham heard from the administration today and has been told that the material in question could be released sometime within the next month or two.
You know, how would you like to have Josh Earnest's job, Scott? I mean, you're sitting there, your hands in the cookie jar. The president just, a couple of days earlier on Chris Wallace's show is talking about, you know, top secret, super top secret, that everything comes through his office. Look at it. He saw the 28 pages. He's seen more than 28 pages that have been unredacted. He's got all the facts. And now people are going to go, wait a minute. He knew all this. He goes and visits Saudi Arabia, bows to the Saudi king. Like, why is he bowing to the Saudi king? Because they only blew up a couple of buildings in New York. They didn't level the entire state. What is all that about? I mean, this is coming, you know, again, from an administration that says, we are going to be the most transparent administration ever. You know, those things always bother me. It's like, why did you have to tell me that that's what you're going to do? Why don't you just do it? And it seems like anytime somebody says to you, hey, I'm going to cut taxes and we're going to be so supportive of the middle class, it's like all of a sudden the flags go off for me because their policies then start to destroy the middle class. I mean, like Hillary Clinton's, tax plan. It's going to, you know, incur another $1 trillion in addition to the budget. And you go, okay, how does this make sense? And of course, here it is. We just got a report that the government collected collected almost $1.5 trillion in the first quarter, and they're still running short. Imagine that. Just about five after the top of the hour right now.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on.
Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. Good to have you with us. For more information on the show, BillMartinezLive.com is where you want to go. Hey, with us right now, a lot of fun. Are you hungry? If not, I know as soon you will be. We've got Daphne Oz with us, New York Times bestselling author, public speaker, TV host. She's been one of the five co-hosts on ABC's hit Lifetime series, lifestyle series, I should say, The Chew, since the premiere in September 2011. Daphne and The Chew team earned their first Emmy in 2015 for outstanding informative talk show host. Daphne, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me, Bill.
Hey, great to have you with us. Congratulations with The Chew and everything that you guys have been doing. What a great treat.
Thank you so much. Yeah, no, I always say I get paid to hang out with my friends and eat delicious food. It is not a bad gig.
Well, hey, and I like the opening question here. Cheesinality, do you have it? Turns
you
out that people,
it.
Yeah, exactly. I do have it. I have to admit, it turns out that people who love grilled cheese have certain personality traits. That's interesting, and that make up their cheesinality. Now, here during the National Grilled Cheese Sandwich Month, to talk about cheesinality and teach us how to take your grilled cheese from Gouda to great. Daphne is with us, as I say, from ABC's popular TV show, The Chew. Daphne, tell us about cheesinality and how it's determined.
Yeah, I really look at cheesinality as that added layer of personality you're guaranteed to have if you are a cheese lover like I am or a grilled cheese lover. And believe it or not, they actually do studies on this, on people like us, and people who love cheese, love grilled cheese, it turns out we are 86% of us, I should say, are more charitable, more adventurous, and we love to travel. So I really think of us as just excellent specimens of humanity.
Yeah, why not? Yes.
You know, I don't know anyone who doesn't love a grilled cheese. And the nice thing is I think most people grew up with some version of it, generally with American cheese or cheddar cheese. Maybe you had that cup of tomato soup to go along with it. But what we're seeing now is this incredible boom in the creativity that chefs are having and that home cooks are having with what they can do with the humble grilled cheese. I'm actually here on behalf of Arla today, and it really is so delicious, right? Every selection around me right now looks so good. I wish you were here to share it, because we're doing things with like Fontina cheese, which is a great cheese to start with. If you're used to the classic American or cheddar, it's a really mild cheese. It melts beautifully. It's really soft and creamy, and it just gives you that beautiful pull when you bite into the sandwich and pull it back, and you get that string of cheese happening, which is so classic. And we're doing that with bacon and avocado. Always wins you some friends. We got Gouda cheese, which is a little bit smokier. We're doing that with some jalapeno and roasted red peppers. And then one of my personal favorites is some Havarti cheese with caramelized onions and fresh sliced pear. And it's this beautiful, sweet, savory combination. The pear, as it warms up, gets really soft and creamy there, too. And of course, that sweet savory, I just think, immediately gives people something new to sink their teeth into when they're enjoying a grilled cheese.
Well, who didn't, you know, whoever said that, you know, grilled cheese sandwiches couldn't be an adventure here? You've just turned it into a delightful, great-tasting adventure, huh?
All this cheesenality just going in my head right now.
Well,
I do think it's one of those things where you're seeing more and more on restaurant menus, people taking classic comfort foods, taking foods that you, you may have had humble beginnings around your dinner table at home, and really making them elevated and taking them to just to like newfound heights with all these different really simple but sometimes exotic flavor combos that make grilled cheese very exciting.
Exactly. Well, and there's something special about grilled cheese sandwiches and making them for your family, isn't it?
Absolutely. I've got two little kids. One of them is 5 months old, so he's not eating anything. But my daughter, Philo, is two, and she loves to be in the kitchen with me. It's one of our favorite ways to spend the afternoon. And making sandwiches together is one of those great, easy things we can do. And it's also a great way for me to expose her to different flavors. I mean, there's very few things you could do to a grilled cheese to make me not like it. And I've gotten her trying spinach and different sauteed vegetables that I'll add in there. This pear combo she actually really likes a lot. So if you're, you know, if you got picky eaters on your hands, it's a great place to start to introduce some new delicious flavors. And if you want some more inspiration for these sandwiches, you can head on over to ArlaUSA.com.
Well, Daphne, we thank you so much for stopping in, getting us hungry, and giving us all these great options, and to increase that cheesenality factor that we have, right?
My pleasure. Thank you so much, Phil.
Thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
Well, I'll tell you, it's enough to get you hungry, isn't it? I mean, ever since I spoke with Daphne, I mean, I'm dreaming grilled cheeses, Scott. I don't know, you know, but of course, you know, I'm a simple man. You know, just a grilled cheese, simple grilled cheese, some French fries. I'm a happy little camper. But now she's stretching me a little bit. I got to get into all this other stuff, Gouda and everything else. I mean, you know, why not?
Well, you may as well give it a whirl, right? Win at Rome, do as the Romans, right?
Hey, why not? I guess. What the heck, anyway? Hey, we got a tweet here from Butch Jackson, and I appreciate the input. He says, James Hurston, GOP, won't bring up other guys' moral corruption because they are part of the problem. You know, in our pursuit of the truth, at any cost, wherever it leads, this is what we run into. You know, we've got to call it out for what it is, and we're grateful for the media. We're grateful for an independent show like this, because we can, you know, tell the truth. You know, we're not going to, you know, and I understand sometimes, you know, what we say and speaking the truth. I'm not trying to do it to purposely offend. Maybe the truth will offend. And so in the natural course of the conversation, especially, you know, Scott, went so long in the name of political correctness, we haven't been able to, you know, speak freely. We're a little inartful, and it may sound a little rough by comparison, but, you know, more and more we keep hearing of, and I can't say the word, but it is really kind of the, feminization, let's put it that way, okay? As opposed to a body part, the feminization of this country. We're blanking out testosterone at the cost of, you know, I believe at the cost of the protection and the passion of this country, and you know, we're leaving ourselves vulnerable here.
Well, we've made it so we can't disagree or talk to one another.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I say that you know that I don't agree with what you're doing or what you're saying, that means that I have to. I'm labeled as something,
right.
You know, something phobic, or I'm a jerk, or I'm a bully.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big one.
Right.
A bully. I have a 9-year-old who thinks that just because I make a joke to him that I'm being a bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, and that's not.
What's the temperament of our culture right now? I mean, you know, it's like if I can find a way to, what I say, invalidate you. You're invalidated. You're out of the conversation. You have no place and no relevance any longer. What does that do? And that's what's happened to more and more of America, is they've been invalidated, and this is why they're so frustrating. And for us here on Bill Martinez Live, we want to be your voice. We say you are validated, that your opinion counts. In fact, I do want to remind you, and we've been getting great response on this, and we're continuing our Facebook Live segment. I don't know, Scott, if you noticed, you said Mas Martinez. I said mucho mas. I just, you know, because I'm a mucho mas kind of guy.
before for those that don't know Spanish.
Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be mucho más, Martinez, after the show, probably about 15 minutes after 12 noon Eastern time. We'll
Facebook
be on Facebook Live. Facebook Live. Go to Facebook.com, Martinez Live, Facebook.com/Martinez Live, and we'll be right there. And tweet us, comment, let us know what's going on. We're going to review the show's highlights, and the discussion will continue. This is Bill Martinez at 15 minutes after.
Thousands of Americans are losing weight and feeling better with the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Here is U.S. Army Sergeant Dave Myers.
Since I started taking the new Zenith, I have lost over 12 pounds. I have a long military career, and it has caused some issues with my knees and my ankles over the years, and I have become accustomed to just being in pain with one of those areas. I can only attribute the way I feel to the new Zenith because that's the only thing that's changed in my diet, and I am absolutely pain-free in knees and ankles, and it just feels great to be able to get out and run around and move pain-free again.
The new Zenith Collagen Protein Shake is part of the 10-2 and a chew weight loss system from ILikeTheWayILook.com. Collagen feeds the joints, hair, and skin. It could help you lose weight, feel better, and look younger. Watch the video on ILikeTheWayILook.com and get the full story. They even offer free samples. Go to ILikeTheWayILook.com. ILikeTheWayILook.com.
Normal blood pressure, naturally. How would that make you feel?
I'm Don from New Mexico. January of 2000, I had a heart attack. Then my real health began going downhill. I had high blood pressure, diabetes, poor vision. I wasn't sleeping well. I was a mess.
Don reports dramatic improvements with Heart and Body Extract.
I started taking Heart and Body Extract from within a few days. I started sleeping better. My blood pressure normalized. My diabetes normalized. My sleep improved.
Experience these benefits and more when your body heals itself with the assistance of Heart and Body Extract. Order at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305.
And folks, I did not expect this at all. By the 7th, 8th, and 9th day, I saw dramatic improvements from taking Heart and Body Extract.
Heart and Body Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future results.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop. You save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
We are ready to take this country in a fundamentally new direction.
You have no idea what is upon us now.
What more could you want? Bill Martinez Live.
I think America's starting to wake up a little bit to getting more and more of an idea of what it is that we're in for and what we've been in for. and what's being done to us right now. But look, it's a government of, for, and by we the people. But if we don't exercise that right, that constitutional right, well, then the elites get to have their way with us. And, you know, are you getting kind of fed up with that? Do you want to push back just a little bit? Well, let's keep the conversation going here. Why not? Bill Martinez here at 19 after the top of the hour. And speaking of our Constitution, let's talk about our number three president. Today's his birthday. Thomas Jefferson is who we're talking about. Of course, one of our founding fathers, probably the principal author of the Declaration of Independence. And we're going to be having a rather ripe discussion with an author whose book has been well anticipated. It's titled America's First Daughter, new book that readers will undoubtedly savor. This compelling, richly researched work by bestselling authors Stephanie Dre and Laura Kamoy draws from thousands of letters and original sources. The authors reveal the fascinating untold story of Martha Patsy Jefferson Randolph, Thomas Jefferson's eldest daughter. Laura Kamoy, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, thank you so much for the book. I mean, this is I love this kind of research because it really clarifies history at a time when I think so much about our history has been revised. And, you know, a lot of discussion, a lot of opinion about our third president. So it's kind of it's refreshing to, you know, Joe Friday would say, you know, just give me the facts. You know, I like having the facts sometimes.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, Jefferson is a president that pretty much everyone knows something about and probably has a fairly strong opinion one way or the other about. So when we were writing America's First Daughter, we really did want to base it in the historical record, in the actual documents. And so we read very widely in the 18,000 letters that are the basis of the book.
Mm. Well, now the focus, of course, his eldest and last surviving child, Patsy, right?
That's right. Patsy Jefferson was his oldest daughter. She was his constant companion. She traveled with him to France. She served as his hostess in the White House before there was such a role as a first lady. And throughout her life, she was always a daughter before she was anything else to anyone else.
Mm. She was right there as they were living out the song Les Miserables during the French Revolution, right?
She absolutely was, and she had an amazing moment that plays out in the book where she sees Lafayette go by at the head of a procession leading the king back into France, and he bows to her, and that's a touchstone moment for her throughout her whole life.
Wow, wow. And she was she's rather spiritual. I mean, you know, people talk about Thomas Jefferson in terms of, you know, what his philosophy, his spiritual philosophy was. But obviously it transferred over to his daughter. I mean, she was a very spiritual woman, wasn't she?
Yes, much more so than Jefferson himself, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Probably had some influence on him, you know, being since they were constant companions. You know, it's kind of hard not to have, you know, that influence when you're around somebody that is as religious as Patsy was.
Yeah, I think that's true. And really, in all kinds of ways, one of the interesting things about their relationship is the way it evolved over the course of their lives, and that by the time he's an elderly person, the person that he trusts more than anything, that he goes to for advice, is his daughter Patsy.
Laura, as you were doing the research here, and like you say, you went through thousands of letters and in an earnest desire to document truth, document history here, and to really have the facts down. You know, based on your education and what you had known about Thomas Jefferson going into this, this endeavor, what changed for you?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. I think one of the things that changed for me, because before I was a fiction writer, I was an historian, and I taught at the United States Naval Academy. Mm. And this book actually came from two senior seminars that I taught with small groups of history major midshipmen. So I started all this as a nonfiction, as a historian, from that perspective. And I think one of the things I realized in writing the novel that I never really thought about before was that Jefferson was not just a founding father. He was a father. And looking at him through the eyes of his daughter gave me a different understanding of Thomas Jefferson. It made me realize that he was, you know, a man who really felt quite deeply, not just about the experiment of the new nation, but about protecting those that he loved, that he was someone who was, you know, held his convictions very deeply, and again, not just in the public sense, but in the private. So I really understand him, and frankly, the whole revolutionary generation better as people who made real sacrifices and put real things on the line.
They had to believe what they believed, didn't they? I mean, to put it all on the line, their resources, their honor, their blood, their treasure, everything on the line for this great experiment. And for him, what I sensed, Laura, and is that, and I see this happen in humanity today, you know, not that we're perfect, but we all want that opportunity to express that God-given gift in us. And it was like Thomas Jefferson was given this canvas to do something that he always thought was possible, and to sit there and design, basically design a country based on all this information. As you say, he was well-traveled. He watched what was happening in France, studied governments, and was able to discern the good off of out of all these different governments and cultures and everything, and came up with the proposition, what if? What if they could put together this great American experiment and design an America of the 18th century that would go on and you know, so far doing fairly well, all things considered?
Absolutely. I mean, Jefferson was definitely someone who believed in improvement, who believed in trying to do more and better for the people, and who believed in liberty. And so he was definitely someone who took all of that in and tried to apply it to the building of the new nation.
If Thomas Jefferson was alive today, and some say that he still is because of his of his history and his contribution to this country and what he has written in so many ways, what would he say about the struggles that America is experiencing right now?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think that he, first of all, would be very sympathetic to the struggle that Americans are facing, because he was always very concerned about the people and about the experiences of what real people were facing. I think that he would think that government could be doing better by the people. I think that he would think that politicians could be doing better by the people. I think that he was critical in his own lifetime of politicians who seemed to be doing things for their own gain versus for the gain of the people. So I think those are some of the things that Jefferson would react to about today. I don't think he would be surprised at all by the vitriol of modern political campaigning, because in his own lifetime, political campaigning was quite a raucous affair, and you know, the political mudslinging was true in his day then.
Well, he wasn't afraid to shake the trees, as they would say. And you know, I keep thinking, Patsy, if we could ever get maybe it requires a play or something, you know, relevant to what you know I'm saying in terms of shaking the trees. I like one of his quotes. He says, "The tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with the blood of patriots and tyrants." And I think that if we could get the founding fathers, maybe it has to be done in a play, obviously, but maybe speak, you know, truth to power in terms of what their intent was, how we've missed the mark. And it's almost like the country needs a chiropractic adjustment from the top down, that it was never designed for elites to take over the country, and that even we, the people, at the ground level need to be adjusted as well as the elites to get back into form and fashion of what the original intent of the Constitution was. I appreciate the book. Thank you so much. Great research. And it'll be linked on our website, Laura, at BillMartinezLive.com.
This report is brought to you by Iroko Pharmaceuticals, LLC. A new nationwide survey sponsored by Iroko reveals that only 3 in 10 Americans who experience pain feel that their symptoms are completely controlled. And only half of pain medication users feel confident that the medications they take are the safest and most effective for their pain symptoms. The survey also showed a lack of awareness and understanding about commonly used non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drugs, or NSAIDs, including the risks associated with them. The Understanding America's Pain survey shows that 47% of those surveyed do not know what NSAIDs are, and only 27% of medication users were aware of FDA recommendations regarding NSAIDs. Dr. Clarence L. Young, Senior VP and Chief Medical Officer of Iroco.
The FDA recommends people use the lowest effective NSAID dose for the shortest duration possible because of the serious cardiovascular and gastrointestinal risks associated with these medications. If you are in pain, it's important to talk with your doctor about which pain management option is best for you.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com.
From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
My computer is so slow, it's making me crazy.
I used to have that problem.
Did you quit using the computer, or did you buy a new one?
Well, I called Geeks On Site. They made an appointment to visit my home and showed up the same day.
You mean they didn't ask you to bring your computer to a shop? That's what happened when I called a support company.
Geeks On Site can go to your home, or business, or even repair your computer online. They have 24/7 emergency service.
If you're having problems with your PC or Mac, call Geeks On Site. 1-800-591-1682. Our friendly certified computer repair experts are available 24/7. Call now for a free diagnosis. 1-800-591-1682. Data recovery, virus removal, and maintenance for all laptops, desktops, printers, and networks. That's Geeks On Site for friendly certified computer repair experts available 24/7 over the phone or in your home or business. Just call 1-800-591-1682. That's 1-800-591-1682. 1-800-591-1682.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
Remember Pearl Harbor. Now you can buy, for the first time ever, the 75th anniversary Pearl Harbor legal tender solid gold coin from the U.S. Money Reserve. Call 1-800-329-6700 right now or go online to usmoneyreserve.com. 1-800-329-6700.
We the people.
We want freedom now.
Listen to Bill Martinez live.
You have no idea who you're dealing with.
Hey, it is that time. Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. If you want to drop me an email, then it is Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. It is time to take a look about turning business upside down. You know, you talk about the, you know, President Jefferson's line about sometimes you got to shake the trees. Well, maybe we need to shake the trees of business and get outside of that now defined nine-dot paradigm that business has been operating under. And David Berkus is with us. He's the author of the book Under New Management. He's associate professor of management at Oral Roberts University, a regular contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Forbes, Bloomberg Business Week, and the Financial Times. David Berkus, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hey, great perspective here. I always love shaking things up. Maybe this is a little bit of the rebel in me. I don't know. But, you know, sometimes, you know, you don't know until you know. It's easy to get into a general paradigm because that's what technology, especially today and this information age in which we live in, it's easy to kind of fall victim into this. And, you know, you're asking the question, you know, after all this stuff that we're dealing with, is it working? Are we better off today than we were yesterday?
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, we tend not to think of management as an invention, but it really was. But it was invented 100 years ago, and we drug a lot of those ideas from the Industrial Revolution, from the factory with us to the office. And, you know, it's time we sort of ask, the nature of work changed. Why didn't all of these ideas change?
Exactly. Well, one of the things that you suggest is banning email, and you know, just if somebody just heard banning email, well, Because they absolutely freak out. I mean, we are so controlled by our email that if we cannot get on the internet and look at our email, we're totally freaked out. But you're saying right off the bat, hey, let's think about banning email because there's some empirical evidence here that demonstrates that companies are more, not less, productive.
Yeah, I mean, email is awesome because it's cheap and it's asynchronous, right? We can send it however much we want. We can send it whenever we want. But that's also the problem, right? It's we send it whenever we want, and we send as much of it as we desire, and just other people have to deal with us sending it. And that's
exactly
really the problem, is we never had a conversation about how best to use this tool. It turns out it's disrupting us at times during the work. It's disrupting our ability to get rest and bond with our families at home. It's not necessarily creating the right environment. And so some companies are engaging in, hey, let's have this conversation, and let's decide how to set limits on this, even up to the point of banning it entirely.
Exactly. Well, that's a good point, because I can tell you, when I go out to lunch, and I'll be, you know, these days it's a quick lunch. It's not like the old days. I could spend maybe an hour and a half. I mean, now it's like, you know, maybe a half hour if I'm lucky to go grab a quick lunch. But I come back and you know, I've got 100 emails I got to filter to. And even though I've got filters set on my computer, there's still stuff, you know, that you know, I'm spending 45 minutes just clearing out my email.
Right, and how much of it is actually that important, and how much of it is the best for that type of communication? I mean, so often we end up sending emails back and forth all day when a five-minute in-person conversation would have communicated as much information as it takes a day to do.
Well, my theory on that, for what it's worth, David, is that introverts love email. They naturally gravitate to you. They will wallpaper you to death with email. Extroverts got to have that, you know, that hand-to-hand combat. And so when you have those dynamics in every business, you know, it was tough. My old boss used to tell me, Bill, you know, because I'm more of an extrovert, as you could probably tell, I love the hand-to-hand combat. I love the face-to-face. You stand up 5 seconds, hey, we can do this, we just make it, you move on. But he used to tell me, he said, Bill, just, you know, send emails. It doesn't hurt anybody to send emails to everybody. And I go, okay. But it was something that I had to develop into because of the culture of that company. It demanded that because it was controlled because the IT guy was an introvert. And he had a lot of control. So I had to go along to get along, you know?
Yeah. Well, and you mentioned a great thing about the sort of IT person. You know, most of us default to our, you know, whatever the default setting is that IT set up, right? So, you know, the most common ringtone on an iPhone is the one that came with the phone, right? And the same thing with Outlook or Mac Mail or whatever email system that we use, it probably goes to the well and checks every 5 minutes because that's the default that comes with the program. And we never took the time to go, hey, what's best for us? You know, as I was writing this chapter, I basically decided, hey, I'm going to turn off all these notifications and see what happens. And it was great. It was wonderful. Whoa. I mean, I'm staring at my desktop right now, and it doesn't check email unless I want it to, so we can have this conversation without somebody pinging me. But I bet if I click send and receive, I'd have another 10 emails.
Oh, yeah, very quickly, huh? The other thing you bring out in your book is sharing salaries. It's kind of novel. We just had National Equal Pay Day yesterday, and so this is good timing. And you talk about sharing salaries not only enhances productivity, but it dramatically narrows the gender wage gap. Explain.
Yeah, so I was not expecting to be such an advocate for this. I get it. Like, it's uncomfortable letting people know what you make. But the research and the anecdotal evidence is really clear that when you move to a transparency condition, you see a reduction in gender wage discrimination, you know, from 77 cents on the dollar to closer to like 89 or 90 cents on the dollar. That's not perfect, but that's a big amount of progress for such a little intervention. The other thing that happens is, you know, I really believe that most companies are aspiring to pay everyone fairly. But in that secrecy condition, it's easy to just not do the hard work. When it's transparent, you have to. Sunlight is the best disinfectant. So if there's something in there that's allowing that to happen, transparency forces your hand and sort of makes you do it. It's a great commitment device for making sure we stay fair.
Well, it encourages people because if they know the company is willing to pay that price for that job, and if you're not earning to that level, it's because you are not you're not living up to the expectation. So it's there. You know, it's a bar to jump, And it's already been established by the company saying, hey, look, if you perform, and sometimes, you know, if you can maintain an open objective, you can see the other person's value and why they're paid more. So if you're open about it, as opposed to, you know, people kind of find out what other people make anyway. And when there is an unfair discrepancy, man, that's trouble in River City real quick.
Yeah, you know, that's the biggest pushback I get is people say, oh, well, won't that create jealousy and comparisons? And to that I always respond, prove to me that doesn't happen anyway. That's happening right now in a secrecy condition. The difference is we're giving people the actual numbers. So if they're going to have any animosity at that point, it's not peer-to-peer. It's peers against the system, and that forces us to change the system and make it more fair.
Well, look what happens with the NBA and any professional sports team, right? Everybody knows what everybody makes. I mean, you go there, and if you win, you know, you win the Masters, you make a gazillion dollars. Everybody sees your paycheck, and if you blow it on the 12th hole, they see also that you still make 880, you know, 880,000 for second place. Not bad, but you know, it's all out there and it's transparent. So you know, it demonstrates some attainability, I believe.
Right, exactly. And you know, that's that sort of biggest thing is you have performance and pay linked these days, and we are terrible judges of performance and terrible judges of pay. But if we at least share pay, we might get better at being able to see how much someone contributes and holding them accountable to that, or pointing out that this person's contributing a lot and isn't getting paid fairly, and now we can fix that system.
Yeah, and you get the peer dynamic coming into play, too, as you referenced. I like this other one, giving unlimited vacation time.
Yeah, so, you know, this one is actually, I like to actually say it's a no vacation policy. In other words, we were seeing that kind of nickel and diming and saying you only get X amount of days, use them or lose them, or you can roll X amount over, et cetera. Most companies now aren't tracking the hours someone is working or the days someone is working, but they're still tracking this other vacation days thing. And a lot of companies are saying, you know, that communicates that we don't trust our employees. That communicates that we think they're going to take too much, that they're going to slack off, et cetera. It's getting in the way of them focusing on doing great work, so we're going to do away with it. And I love that idea. I mean, if I could summarize all of these ideas, it's really about stripping away the policies that are blocking people from doing their best work, not making new ones.
All right, we got about 30 seconds left. One final idea that is quite a bit different than what we've been raised with. The employee comes first, not the customer.
Yeah, exactly. The only way frontline employees can put customers first is if the rest of the company puts frontline employees first.
Good point. Under New Management, available at all the usual places, right, David?
Yep, anywhere books are sold, your favorite retailer.
And it'll be linked on our website as well at BillMartinezLive.com. David Burke is author of Under New Management. Great stuff here. It'll get you thinking, and boy, it'll get the guys in the suits in the big offices maybe rewriting some policies there for the good of all concerned. 19 before the top of the hour.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profits. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. Go to BigBuckRiches.com. From the Robert Allen System, current returns not indicative of future results.
It only takes 7 seconds to make a good first impression, or a bad one for that matter. What if it only took 7 seconds to get to work in the morning? Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. The 7-Second Walk is a turnkey home business system. We are looking for individuals who would like to earn from $500 to $5,000 a month, working from home with their own home-based business. All you need is a computer, internet access, and a telephone. You choose your own hours, and you can work in your PJs if you want. What most people like best about the 7-Second Walk is our national advertising campaign that can have customers calling you. We will teach you everything you need to know to be successful. So, if you could use some extra money and would like to be your own boss, go to 7secondnow.com and request your free info pack. I'll bet you could get used to a 7-second commute. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com. Think about it. 7 seconds from the bedroom to the workroom. Go to 7secondnow.com. That's 7secondnow.com.
Planning to buy food storage? Wait a minute. Many companies try to confuse you with the number of servings they sell. It's not about the number of servings. It's about the number of calories. In emergencies, calories mean survival. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com for a comparison of leading companies. Ready Supply Foods sells the most calories per dollar of any company. Our 23 entrees and breakfasts are delicious and full of nutritious calories. The new leader in value and quality. Go to ReadySupplyFoods.com today.
Worried about lead, fluoride, and other contaminants in your drinking water? Get a ProPure with the Pro-1G 2.0 cleanable reusable filter and remove up to 200 contaminants. Drink water the way nature meant it to be. Clean, crisp, and refreshing. See the complete line of ProPure products, including the new ProMax shower filter. There's a ProPure for you. Visit your authorized ProPure dealer for details or ProPureUSA.com. That's ProPureUSA.com or 800-544-3533.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shopped the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Serious investors and traders want to make 81% return in 60 seconds? Use the same secret algorithm professional hedge fund managers use to make billions of dollars of profit. Turn $250 into $4,903 in just 7 clicks of a mouse. Our tool is so simple that my 82-year-old grandmother can use it to make insane stock market profits. Go to richmoneyrich.com. Watch the free video before the hedge funds make us take it down. richmoneyrich.com. That's richmoneyrich.com. From the Robert Allen System. Current returns not indicative of future.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
It's getting better all the time. I used to get mad at my school. The teachers that taught me weren't cool. They're holding me down, turning me around.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or your favorite radio station, over 270 markets across the country, even on shortwave at WWCR out of Nashville, Tennessee, thank you for joining in. And all the fun here is we do everything we can to get this country back on track. And don't forget the after show, which we're calling Mucho Mas Martinez, at about 12:15 Eastern Time. You can join us on Facebook Live. And we're going to summarize the highlights of the day's shows. Look for your input, your tweets, and we'll talk about those. So you're always welcome to be a part of the conversation because it is absolutely critical that you get involved. All hands on deck. We're going to get this country back on track. With us right now is Jennifer Ackerman. She's been writing about science, nature, and biology for almost 3 decades. Her most recent books include Sex, Sleep, Eat, Drink, Dream, now that I got your attention, A Day in the Life of Your Body, Achu, The Uncommon Life of Your Common Cold, Chance in the House of Fate, A Natural History of Heredity, and Notes from the Shore. Jennifer Ackerman, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. It's great to be here.
Hey, great to have you on here. It's interesting that, you know, we're having this conversation. Last night I saw the movie Concussion. And, boy, what a great movie. I thought Will Smith, and I understand some of the controversy now. I didn't have a chance to see it, you know, before the Oscars. But it was well done, and it addressed the issues, particularly a woodpecker and how their brains are engineered to handle the concussive hits that it takes and how many times it just, you know, pecks the wood. And for football purposes that, you know, human beings, we just don't have anything to keep our brains from being scrambled. But yet these birds do this, and I thought, oh, wow, you know, here we are. We're going to talk about the genius of birds. And also, you know, people think that if you're bird-brained, it's like you don't have a brain. But, the way they've been designed, there's a lot more more to consider about the genius of birds than we appreciate.
Absolutely. You know, for a very long time, people thought birds were just driven by instinct and that their brains were tiny and primitive and, you know, really capable of only simple mental processes. But in recent years, we've discovered that, yes, woodpeckers and crows and all kinds of birds, even the little ones, jays and chickadees and titmice, they're really much more intelligent than we ever imagined. They can solve problems. They have really prodigious memories. And they learn by example the way children do. They can craft tools. They can use language. So we're really learning that there's much more to the bird brain than we imagined.
Yeah, they're doing a lot more successful than we are. It's not like they have to wait for a government to supply their food for them, right?
They're very, very self-sufficient and resourceful.
I mean, you imagine. I mean, it's, just as you bring this out, you know, when you stop and take a pause for a moment, you consider the life of a bird and how they exist. I guess on the simple surface, if you don't really want to drill deep into it, you think, oh, they're bird-brained. You know, they were pre-programmed. And, I mean, after all, I mean, they're up there sitting on wires and they're sleeping, but yet they're wired to close the close their pinions around the wires so that they don't fall off. So, you know, how smart are they?
Right. Well, there's some real Einsteins of the bird world. One of my favorites is the bird called the New Caledonian crow, which is arguably the smartest bird on the planet. And it has incredible problem-solving skills. And it can make its own tools, which, there are only a handful of species on the planet that can do that, including, chimps, orangutans, and humans. But crows make very complex tools, and they have their own styles of tool making. And as I said, they're just amazing problem solvers. There was a video that went viral not too long ago of a New Caledonian crow solving a 7-step puzzle with, tremendous speed. It really puts the bird brain in a whole new light.
Really, that's amazing. And this is without thumbs, ladies and gentlemen. The crow is making its own tools and solving puzzles. Probably throw a Rubik's Cube at it, and it'll figure it out in a couple seconds here. But tell us a little bit more about the New Caledonian crow. I mean, some people are hearing this and going, what? This is fun stuff. You see, you can take this back to the office and give people a bit of enlightenment on the New Caledonian crow and how smart they are and that bird brains aren't, what we thought they were.
Yeah, so that's right. They're the only other species than humans to make hook tools, so a stick tool with a little hook on the end of it. And they make great tools, and they reuse them, so they carry them around just the way that we do. One of the really cool things is that they have they live on this island in the South West Pacific, and in different parts of the island, they have different styles of tool making, and they pass these down over generations. And so that's a really good definition of culture. So these birds have a kind of culture of tool making.
Right. Here we are dealing with iPods and, music holders and everything else, and you've got mockingbirds and thrashers. You say it can store 200 to 2,000 different songs in a brain 1,000 times smaller than ours. I mean, who needs an Apple iPod in the bird world, right?
That's absolutely right. And one of the really interesting things is the way that a bird learns its song is very similar to the way that we learn language. And so they're not, it's called vocal learning. There are not very many species on the planet that do learn this way, and birds are one of them. So there are these remarkable similarities between song learning and birds and human speech learning. So we're learning a lot about our own brain by studying the way that birds learn their song.
Now, let me ask you, relevant to the bird world, I mean, do some of these attributes cross over? Are they demonstrated in other bird groups, or are they just, like the mockingbird and thrasher, we know them, for singing songs. At any time, does this cross over to a pigeon or another bird, or just, by design, they're just not designed to do that?
Yeah, so there are different kinds of genius in the bird world. You know, a pigeon is not a great songster, but it's a terrific navigator.
Mm-hmm.
You know, pigeons can find their way from, you know, places they've never been before to places they've never been before. It's a really remarkable skill involving a real complex sort of synthesis of lots of different information, landmarks and memories and sights, sounds, smells, magnetic fields, wind, weather, sun, stars. You know, it's a whole combination of things that they integrate in their brain and that allow them to get where they need to go. So, yes, there are these different, I would say, specializations that that different birds have.
Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, so true about pigeons that they can travel such incredible amounts of distance, thousands of miles in unfamiliar area. I mean, here it is that we as human beings, we get trouble sometimes just getting out of our own zip code. And I'm here in Florida and everything, you know, you're blocked out by different bodies of water. And I get all confused. It's almost like I keep telling my wife, I want to go on a helicopter ride so I can get some sort of bearings here. Cause I seem to, you know, find myself going in circles, either that, or I just need a pet pigeon to lead me, you know, lead me
right,
around here.
Absolutely. You know, without our GPS, we would be sunk. And, you know, it's not just pigeons. There's a story in the book about white-crowned sparrows. It's just a little bird, you know, and it migrates along a path on the West Coast. And scientists plucked a little group of these sparrows from their migratory path out there on the West Coast, and they transported them by jet 3,000 miles across the country to Princeton, New Jersey. And within hours, they released them. The sparrows were beelining it back to where they had been heading originally.
They knew where to go. That's amazing.
They knew just where to go.
San Juan Capistrano. They want to go to San Juan Capistrano. It's a great place. They have great tacos there, you know. That's probably it.
Yeah.
Know, so.
I don't know many humans who would pass that test.
Unbelievable. So they grab them. They take them to the East Coast to see what's going on, just to kind of play with them. To see what they would do, huh? Wow,
it's
amazing.
It's called a displacement experiment, and it happens in the natural world when birds get blown off course with a big storm or, you know, something like that. They, you know, they end up far from where they were meant to be, but they can get back on track usually within a few hours.
What other things surprised you here, Jennifer, in studying the genius of birds? I mean, I can imagine as you're opening up this, you're going, oh, my goodness. I mean, it just, you know, light bulbs are just flashing one right after another as you just realize the brilliance and design. And I guess you could say even the miracle of birds and the way they exist and subsist.
Yes. And, you know, some of them, the things that I learned, it's very humbling. There's a bird called the Clark's Nutcracker that lives in the mountains in the west, in the Rocky Mountains. And this is a caching bird. It stores its food over the course of the season. And this bird will store 30,000 seeds in about 5,000 different locations in the mountains. And it can retrieve those very caches of seeds over a period of 6 months. So it remembers where it puts these seeds. And I think about this every time I misplace my keys
right.
or my glasses. And
exactly.
I think, how do these birds store this in this tiny, you know, walnut-sized brain?
But they do very successfully, thank God. And here they are. And how many other birds are they satisfying with their abilities as well? Is there a shared responsibility at all in this?
Well, they each go back to their own caches, so it's quite amazing in that way. And the other thing that stunned me was learning about just how complex some of the communication is between birds. You know, you hear these calls and songs, and there's a kind of language going on there. The black-capped chickadee, which is a pretty common species, has one of the most sophisticated communication systems of any animal. So,
congratulations on the book. We're out of time. Jennifer Ackerman, The Genius of Birds, on Bill Martinez Live.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green-Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Longevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Dr. Joel Wallach here. If you're a baby boomer and you're worried about the big epidemics coming, and I'm not talking about the bird flu or the swine flu, I'm talking about epidemics of Alzheimer's disease, heart disease, obesity, diabetes, arthritis, cancer. That's because the 80 million baby boomers followed all the advice of doctors, and Houston, we have a problem.
See Dr. Wallach live in Little Rock, Arkansas, Saturday, May 14th, 1 p.m. Go to www.cdocinarkansas.com. That's cdocinarkansas.com.